guys are opening up your Bibles there. Just want to say how thankful I am that we get to be in the house of the Lord this morning with all of you, and just very blessed, and so thankful that you were able to make it. We are in the last days. We want to keep that in mind. We are in the last days, and some would say, well, are you saying that Jesus is going to come back soon? I think we need to live like it. Am I going to try to predict to you what day he's going to come back? Absolutely not, because he said no one knows the day or the hour, and I would be foolish to try to speculate on that. We definitely see some things that are culminating right now, amen? I think that just like the first century Christians needed to live like it was going to be any day, that we need to live like it's going to be any day. We need to live like it's going to be today. And as we know that we are closer to that day than those first century Christians who thought it might be in their lifetime as well, that we just need to make sure that we're living in such a way that, first of all, that we look like we're ready for heaven, that we look like that we really belong to Jesus, because it's only those who belong to Jesus that are going to be going to heaven. Second of all, we want to make sure that we're living in such a way that when other people see it, they're going to see that there's something unusual about our life that makes us look different than the rest of the world, that they might be drawn. We need to be living with an urgency of telling other people about Jesus every opportunity that we have. And it shouldn't be manufactured or uncomfortable. It really should just be an outworking of our daily life if we're living for Christ and we're really spending time with him every day. And you know, we also need to live desiring to have discernment so that we can kind of navigate in these days of a lot of upheaval. Guys, I'm going to say there's a lot of upheaval in the world right now. I'm sure that you are aware as well. You know, 2020 proved out to be a very confusing and just very wavy year for a lot of people. 2021 didn't seem that much smoother to me. And a lot of people say, well, now we're in 2022, so we know it'll get better. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. As we keep going toward the end, some things are going to keep getting worse. And so I don't say that to discourage anybody. I say that we should be excited, because along with that are going to be increased opportunities for the light to shine in the darkness. You know, they don't put a lighthouse on a point in the ocean to point people away from dangers during the daylight. They do it to point people away from dangers in the dark. And that lighthouse doesn't really affect anything until there's a lot of darkness, and then it becomes very, very significant. And I think that's what we're seeing in our world today. And it's what 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 18, is really going to kind of bring to light for us today, you might say. And so let's all stand for the reading of God's word this morning. And then we'll pray, and then we're going to break it down. 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 18. Little children. Is that an insult? We all try to be bigger than we are, you know? When we stand before God, we're just like little children. He is so much higher, so much more infinitely smarter than us. We need to learn from him. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we stand here before you today as a church body, this is the body of Christ, Lord, I pray that everyone in this group right now can, without any hesitation, say that they know Jesus personally. But Lord, I know that just as sure as we're here, there may be some who don't. And that's good that they are here so that they might have an experience with you today that would convince them to follow you with all their heart. It's the only place that we can find safety. There's been a lot of fear in these days all around the world. Some of it is continuing to be perpetuated. And I'm going to stand here today that COVID should not be the thing that we're most fearful of. Being separated from God is the thing we should be most fearful of. And so, Lord, I pray that all of us would know that if we are in Christ, we are in the Father, and we will be in heaven. But, Lord, if we are not in Christ, then we need to get there. And I pray that today might be helpful in us evaluating where we stand. Lord, if we are in Christ, help us to go forward without fear, that we can go forward in faith. No matter what the times look like around us, we know that Russia is poised and wanting to go into Ukraine at any time. But we know you're bigger. And so, Lord, we pray to you that you would just have your will be done there, that you would protect your people there, and you would protect the ability for the gospel to go forward there. God, we see things happening all over the world, but what we know is ultimately you are bigger, and so we place our faith in you today, and I pray that you would just bless us to have the discernment that it speaks of in these passages that we read today of Scripture. So, Lord, bless us, and I pray that you would help us to live out a life of the ones who are anointed of the Holy One. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all have a seat and break this down just a little bit more. First of all, that statement in verse 18, that it is the last hour. It's the last hour. You know, as we look at the signs of salvation, being anointed of the Holy One, I think, is one of the most sure signs that there could ever be. Do you have the Holy Spirit living in you? You know, and you might say, well, how will I know? You know, could he just be in there but be real quiet and just kind of be secretly living in me? No, I think that if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you're going to know it. And so how are you going to know it? Are you going to show unusual signs like things like, well, I'm not even going to go where these unusual signs can be. I'm going to go to the true signs of the fact that the Holy Spirit lives in you. And first of all, he's going to convict you of sin. If you got the Holy Spirit living in you, you're just not going to be comfortable in sin anymore. Do I get an amen to that? People who can relate? I mean, it's just like he just makes you feel like, ugh, like I just can't go there. And he keeps enlarging your understanding of that as you go. It's awesome. It really is. And it's a sign that he's preparing you for heaven. Another sign that the Holy Spirit lives in you is he's going to make you bold. And if some people say, well, I'm not as bold as that person over there. Well, if the Holy Spirit's living in you, you'll at least be bolder than you were before. And so, like, we're all in a different place on that, right? You know, I've heard people say that they were so shy that they wouldn't even come out of their room whenever people would come to visit them, and yet now they're Bible teachers. Tell me how that happens. It's because of God living in them. And so, like, that'll be another one of the signs. Well, here it speaks of a sign that the Holy Spirit lives in you, that you're anointed of the Holy One. Anointing, it's like speaking of, like, oil being poured on you. And you know what? It's representative of the Holy Spirit. That oil represents the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you? Have you been covered in him? Are you saturated with him? That's what it's speaking of. And this today is going to say that one of the signs of salvation is that anointing. And one of the signs that you have that anointing is that you're going to have certain characteristics in your life. So we're going to go over some of these characteristics that we see here today. First one is in that verse 18, realizing it's the last hour. We should be living like Jesus could come back today. And I'm going to say that, like, before I got saved and before the Holy Spirit was living in me, I quite honestly wasn't even so sure that he was real. Wasn't so sure if he was real, would he even come back? Was that just, you know, people talking about that? And was that just their opinion on things and everything? But I'm going to say that since I'm a believer and the Holy Spirit lives in me and I've read this book, I am absolutely sure that Jesus is coming back. And whenever I see things lining up with what I see in the Scripture, I would have to assume he's coming back soon. So let me live like it's going to be today. And Jesus encouraged us to live that way. Jesus said that it was like a master who went away on a long trip. No one knew for sure when he was coming back. But he gave them a certain amount of talents to invest in different ways. It's a parable. And here's the thing, guys. There were three different people that received three different amounts. One received five, one received two, and the other received one. But here's the thing. The one who only received one buried it in the ground, did nothing with it. And he thought, well, at least when my master comes back, I'll be able to give him the one back. He'll be glad that I didn't lose this one. Guys, if you know the parable, you're going to know that ain't how it turned out. The one who invested the five got double, right? The one who invested the two got double. And that one who invested the one, he said, well, here's your one back. And you know what the master said of him? He said, you wicked and lazy servant. Isn't that kind of a scary thought? Like if Jesus came back today and he looked at what he's invested in me, what would he see? It's not so that I can get any particular great reward. I mean, guys, it's all about him. Have I been faithful with what he's giving me? He desires to see fruitfulness and multiplication. He desires to see faith. What do we do with the amount of faith that he gave us? And I'm going to say, guys, it's the last hour. Live like it. Don't live like, you know, we've got forever to make that decision or I'll put it off till tomorrow because I don't know if I'll have tomorrow. You know, I keep hearing more and more about people that didn't really expect to die and then bam, right? We don't always get this big long warning. We don't know. So let's live like it today. Let's make the best of today. You know, need to be challenged by that. And here's the thing, even as you're trying to live like it's going to be today, you know, you're going to have opposition. Do I get an amen to that? There's going to be spiritual battle coming against you. Do you know there's like this spiritual realm, we can't really see it with our eyes, but man, it's real. And here's the thing. Not only is he sending the Antichrist with a capital A, it's a person, yeah, he's going to come someday inspired by Satan. He's going to come. He's going to have great charisma, and a lot of people are going to follow him. But here's the thing. He also sends now many antichrists with a lowercase a. And I'm going to say they're part of the worldliness that we spoke of last week. Deny Christ. Deny that he has anything to do with it. Well, in some ways, they may not outwardly just totally deny Christ, but they may make other things and other people seem more important than Christ. And sometimes they can get in the Christian church. Did you know that? It's really sad when that happens because church should be a safe place for the sheep, right? Sometimes there are false teachers that creep in. Sometimes they get big TV ministries and stuff like that too. Right? You're probably thinking, why don't you go ahead and name some names so I'll know. Guys, if you got the Holy Spirit living in you and you're in the Bible, you should have the discernment to be able to know. When you hear stuff that ain't biblical and you hear somebody that won't repent of it and they keep going further and further, you need to get away from them. You need to be responsible to recognize it and turn it off. And then you need to not get so, you know, upset and discouraged that you quit coming to church or you quit, you know, worshiping or you, because some people do that. You know, they'll be going along and it may not even be related to their immediate church, but like they saw some Christian that disappointed them and then they go, that's it. I don't, you know, this is all just worthless. But don't get like that. just understand that Satan's going to attack from the outside, and sometimes he's going to attack from the inside. But recognize it's him that's the enemy. Okay? And then let's fight him together with other Christians that are like-minded in the faith and trying to live biblical lives. You see, and eventually the capital A Antichrist is going to come. And whenever we see that in, I just kind of back it up by 2 Thessalonians 2:8-9. It says, and then the lawless one, that's speaking of him, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. You see, guys, don't even fear that. Because, believe me, God's got it planned how he's going to take care of it when the time comes. He's going to be allowed to come right at the end so that it serves God's purpose in the long run. You see, the coming of the lawless one is according to the work of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And you can read all more about him in Revelation. And you can see the way that he gets the whole world under his sway. And people are looking to him. And you know what? He's going to be put in his place. He only serves a very small purpose right at the very end. And I say during that, the last part of that tribulation, whenever he takes his full power, and then, guys, don't worry, Jesus comes back, and Jesus takes care of it. It's not a problem for him. You see, it's only a problem for those who get deceived by him. And so we need to take heart and get close to God so that even the little A Antichrist don't deceive us, that we know and we recognize the voice of our Lord through the voice of his servants. And so, again, in that the fact that many Antichrists will come, in Matthew 24, verses 23-24, it says, then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets, those are not capital in Christ in any way. They're not the capital Antichrist, capital A Antichrist either. These are many different ones, multiple ones that are going to come along, and he says they will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Guys, they're going to be convincing. But here's the beautiful thing. You notice he said, if possible, they would deceive even the elect. That's telling me Jesus himself is saying it's not possible. If you're the elect, if you're in him and you have the anointing of the Spirit, you have what you need to keep from being deceived. But the question is, are you cultivating that relationship with him? Are you getting closer to him? Are you reading his word? Because I'm going to tell you, that's always going to be one of his key tools that he uses to give us that discernment. And then he's also going to help us to recognize the falseness of what they're saying so that we won't be deceived. I praise God for that. I can take confidence in that, that if I'm the elect, God's given me what it takes. I got the Holy Spirit. I got God living in me. You see, true Christians, these are ones that are really his, stay connected to the body of Christ. In this next verse, I think we're going to see that being played out. In verse 19, 1 John 2:19, it says, they went out from us, but they weren't of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Guys, here's the thing. There's going to be people that come and go, and I'm not just saying here at our local church. Maybe it's true of some that maybe have passed through. I don't know. I hope not. I pray that if anyone passed through and found another place to make their church home, that they're flourishing there. That's what I pray. But, you know, there'll be some who will come along even in your life that they'll get all excited about Christ for a little while, but then they find out what it's really about and they fall away and we're really confused because we see their life as a shipwreck, and then we start thinking, well, maybe this whole Christianity thing isn't quite all that it's cut up to be. Hey, guys, don't blame it on God. God will give them the power to overcome if they'll look to him. What their overcoming looks like, it may look different than what we think it would be, but I guarantee you that he will give you the power to finish with him, to finish faithful. But we have got to desire it as well. And if we don't, then it may be just proving they're not really part of the body of Christ. Don't blame it on God. I've heard people blame it on God before, and that's a horrible blasphemy to commit. It wasn't God's fault. Here's the thing. If you are a Christian, you need to stay connected to the body of Christ. Are you going to stay connected to the body of Christ? Are you one of his sheep? Do you hear his voice? Do you follow him along with the rest of his body? We need to stay connected. You know, through COVID, we were told that we were not essential. What do you guys think? Is the church essential? Absolutely. We are essential. If we can't necessarily meet every time in person, we need to stay connected in some way, but we need to meet every time we can in person. I think it's essential. I think it's really important. If it wasn't essential, then why does it say in the scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not to forsake the assembly of the saints? You know, some people get in the habit of forsaking, but it's telling you don't get in the habit of forsaking it. Stay connected. Keep going along the road together. We strengthen each other together. It's good for us to be together. And I believe that people that are truly of Christ and have the anointing of the Holy One stay connected to the body of Christ. It says so. And so then another one, another point that we want to make that we find in chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 20, true Christians are anointed with the Holy Spirit, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Do you sit here today and say, I know all things? In and of myself, I really don't. But what he's saying is the one who knows all things lives in you. And if the one who knows all things lives in you, he will let you know when you need to know the things you need to know. So walk with him. Listen to him. Have your ear, your spiritual ears open. Be in the Word so that then you can... This is like the way we translate the way God's speaking to us, you see? Because otherwise we can just have this funny feeling in our stomach. And I've heard people follow your gut, and I'm just going to tell you, that's not a good plan. Esau followed his gut and he gave away his birthright. Not a good plan. Other people say, follow your heart. Boy, your heart's deceitful. It's wicked, it says in the Bible. Above all things, all kinds of evil comes out of our hearts. So better not follow our hearts. So who are we going to follow? We better follow Holy Spirit. We better follow God. Better follow his word, because he's never going to contradict his word. So if you're a true Christian, you are anointed. That's not something that you need to wait for. You just need to realize it. You need to live in it. It's not about a feeling either, guys, because sometimes I feel anointed more than others. Sometimes I feel the effect of sin too, because sin's still waging a war in there, right? Guys, you realize this says you are anointed. If you're in Christ, you are. It's not a if, and, or but about it. And so let's look just a little bit more that of this word that's used for this in the Greek, chrisma. And it means an anointing, or another name for it is unction. I like that name, unction. It speaks of having like God power to do what God calls you to do. Do you realize that unction, that power of the Holy One, that power of the Holy Spirit is the same one who raised Jesus from the dead? So for us to say, God called me to this, but I don't have the power to do it. If God called you and you're his, you have the power. Because he's got himself living in you. The question is, are we going to submit to his power? Are we going to surrender and let him do it through us. It means, this is always the one that gets me, I don't know about you, it means I'll have to be humble. You know, every one of us in this room struggle with pride in some way, shape, or form. I'm just going to guarantee it, including me. And so some would say, well, the preacher just said he's prideful. I need to leave this church. You won't find another church where the preacher's not prideful, because we all deal with pride on some level. Does anyone love to admit it when you're wrong? You know why? Pride. Pride really swells up. And the more we seem to know, the more the pride gets bigger if we're not careful. And the only way that we can really counteract that is by giving God the glory. Let's do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's do it with the holy unction that he gives a believer, whatever it is he calls us to do. And that way, when somebody says, good job, you can say, praise God. And not just as some kind of a virtue signal, but like for real. Like, guys, I can tell you, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be standing up here today. And I just pray that the words of these scriptures will sink deep into your heart and change just a little bit of who you are. It won't be me doing it, because I can't change anybody. I can't even change myself. I want God to change us. And then it'll last. You see, I want that holy anointing to be prevalent in our lives, that unction. You see, true believers won't be deceived. And I'll just go to a couple verses from 2 Thessalonians here. It says, in all righteousness, this is from 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the truth, the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. Isn't that a little bit of a scary thought? Like, if you won't submit to God and submit to the Holy Spirit living in you, who gives you discernment, then God himself, in the end, is going to send a strong delusion? Guys, if God sends a strong delusion, no one can overcome God. But you see, he doesn't do that to his people. That's why his people live differently. Have you seen some of the craziness that's going on in the world these days? I'm not going to spend all my time looking at the bad, but like, do you ever just scratch your head and say, what in the world is wrong with them? Do you ever do that? Like, people that don't know what their gender is, they want to insist that they're another gender. Do you ever just scratch your head and say, what? I can make this really simple. You know? If your physical appearance looks like this, if you grew up on a farm, you knew how to identify the males and the females, right? But you see, nowadays there's such a confusion, and I'll tell you, it's because of rebellion against God. And the more rebelled that we get against God, the further we get from him, the more of this delusion that comes upon us. So we need to pray for them. Guys, don't judge. Don't say, man, I'm glad I'm not like them. What I am going to ask you to do is to make a commitment today to realize that if it wasn't for God, you could be just like that. You see, if you didn't have the anointing of God and you were actually open to that delusion, you could go down the same path. You read Romans 1 and you begin to see what it looks like. It says that because the people wouldn't repent, he gave them over to a reprobate mind to do what they ought not to do. And so, guys, what we need to do is we need to be the lighthouse right now during these days, pointing people to safety by our lives, by our love, by our commitment to God. And he goes on in verse 12 to say that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let's not take part in what's happening. Let's be the lighthouses that point the way out. See, true believers walk in truth. That's another thing that we see here in the 1 John chapter 2 passage in verse 21. We have that anointing, and we're going to walk in the truth. Do I get an amen to that? That's why I myself, on that whole issue of gender, I can't use the wrong pronoun for somebody. Because if I did, I'd be lying. I'll just avoid pronouns, I suppose. I don't know how I can handle it. It's hard. But here's the thing. If I become part of the lie, then I really can't be pointing toward the truth. It's a real struggle. But guys, let's be part of the truth. He says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. You see, another one that true believers are going to exhibit this quality is like, we're going to live like we believe it. Do you live like you believe Jesus is the only way? You see, I've been in a lot of churches. Before I came here, I preached in several churches. I went around and filled the pulpits in a lot of different places. I went to different conferences and I've preached. And I preached in my own home church before. And I can tell you, in almost every one of these churches, I have heard people, when they don't think that anyone else important is listening, I've heard people say this. You see, when you're not the pastor, they'll go ahead and talk around you. When you're just the visitor. And I would hear people say, Jesus can't be just the only way. Otherwise, what about all these other people in the world? What about all the Buddhists? What about all the Muslims? I mean, there has to be some truth, and there always must lead to the same place. Guys, if you believe that, then you're denying Christ. Because if you believe that, then you're saying that he lied when he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And man, I'm going to tell you, he sealed the deal when he said, there is no other way to the Father except through me. He didn't leave any ifs, ands, or buts about it. He didn't leave any other ways. There was nothing wishy-washy about that statement. If it's not through Christ, you won't be in heaven. He is the only way. You must consciously submit yourself to Christ. Him is your king, for him to be your savior. And you know, there's all kinds of thoughts, you know, and people are getting baptized for the dead, and they're hoping that somehow that'll save them after they're dead. There's others who are giving offerings to the church and hoping that'll save them after they're dead. Guys, I'm going to tell you, you got right now in this lifetime till your heart stops beating to get this decided, and there ain't no second chances. And the Bible tells me we're in the last hour. So let's make sure that this is what we're all about. Is living it, believing it, living it like we believe it, and helping others to see it, that God can work in their hearts too. You see, true believers live like we believe it. And it says, he who is a liar, who is a liar, but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have a Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let's live like we believe it. Is your Jesus big enough to save you? And is your faith big enough, is it strong enough to lead you? Because if your faith isn't strong enough to lead you now, I don't know if it's strong enough to get you into heaven. Your faith has got to be strong enough to be helping make the decisions in your life now, that you might see that it's strong enough and you can know where you're going to be when you die. You see, those anointed of the Holy Spirit are going to show some basic proofs in this, and we're just going to kind of outline them real quick as we close. They're going to live in and know truth. They are not going to be deceived. Guys, I want you to take heart in this. If you've got the Holy Spirit living in you, take confidence that God will show you who is trying to deceive you when they come. They're going to live like they believe Christ, and they're going to stay connected to the body of Christ. Is that the evidence of your life? I pray that it continues to be. I praise God. I get to preach to the choir today because you guys showed up. We need to go preach this message to the ones that didn't show up. And it's going to take more than one person to do that. We all need to be about this message. And some would say, how can I know? How can I know? You ask them, do you know where you'll be whenever you grow up? You know, whenever you go out of this world, when you take your last breath, whenever you die, do you know where you're going to be? And a person might say, how can I know? Man, this is a great checklist right here. The number one thing is, are you anointed of the Holy Spirit? Do you remember a time in your life when you called out to God and the Holy Spirit moved in? If you don't, and you're compelled, and God's drawing your heart, do it today. Say, God, I repent of my sins. I don't want to live like that anymore. I believe Jesus came to pay for my sins. I believe he died on the cross. I believe, Lord Jesus, that you're raised on the third day, and I trust you as my Lord and Savior. That could be the start of your new life, your born-again experience, a born-again Christian. That's what it means. You may be 30, you may be 40, you may be 60, you may be 80. If you're drawing breath, you can be born again. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to have a time of altar call. Dear God, I pray that as these days show us that there is definitely a time that is coming, that Jesus is coming back, help us to be ready. Lord, and it may be that he comes in the next generation. I don't know. Maybe the next generation. I don't know. Maybe we'll have an upswing. Maybe we'll have a great revival. I've been praying for it. But even so, Lord Jesus, come. When you're ready, you come. And I pray that everyone in this room is ready. I pray that their hearts are surrendered to you. There was something that compelled them to come today. And so I pray that as you were the one who compelled them to come, that you would make sure of that good work in their heart, that they leave here anointed of the Holy Spirit, ready to meet you. Help us to be built up so that we won't believe the Antichrists, and that even if the Antichrist were to show up here today, we would know that he was the false Christ immediately. That anointing of the Holy Spirit will keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen.